Well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you. I'm so glad you did not let a little change stop you from being here in this place on Labor Day weekend. So just go ahead and give yourselves a round of applause. You made it. But I'm excited about this weekend because it's more than just Labor Day weekend for us. This is a historic weekend for us here at Oak Hills Church. I cannot tell you how many meetings I have sat in that we have talked about September 1st, September 1st, September 1st, September 1st, and it is finally here. I feel like I should like have a ribbon or something to run through. Let me tell you why this is a bit of a finish line for us, with more to come, but today is a historic day in Oak Hills Church because today begins the planting of not one, not two, but three new churches in our area. Can we give God thanks for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do? Journey Fellowship, the Bridge Church in Fredericksburg, and North Central Fellowship all begin today. Now, for some time, they have been able to grow underneath the umbrella of Oak Hills Church as one of our campuses. And now these campuses, they are becoming independent churches. And this is such an exciting time for us. We've called it our harvest vision because Jesus said the harvest is, well, it's here. It's plentiful. It's huge. But the workers, well, the workers are few. And so we see our job is preparing harvest hands for the harvest. And we believe that the best way for us to do that is to plant churches that will plant churches that will plant churches. And we need more churches telling more people about the love and the great grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So we are going to pray for them, and then we're going to pray for us, and then we're going to dive in today as to what this means for us here at Oak Hills Church. Father, we do thank you for our brothers and our sisters, our family. We thank you for what you have done, how you have grown, and how you have matured these churches to be ready to fly on this day of September 1st as we mark this day, not as a celebration of anything that we have done, but a celebration of what you have done, a celebration of your goodness, of your faithfulness to the generations to come. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much for that. Please bless them. And Father, for us, would you bless the preaching of your word today? Would you bless the hearing of your word today? And oh Lord, would you bless the doing of your word today? We want to see Jesus, and it's only Jesus that we want to see. Would you grant us that? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, for the last few weeks, we have been talking about the harvest vision. We've turned our attention to what does this mean for us here at Oak Hills Church? What does this look like, this harvest vision look like for us? And if you were with us 2 weeks ago, we began by saying that we are a people who invite all people to follow Jesus moment by moment. Now, why is this so important? Because we want to keep Jesus at the center. Only Jesus belongs at the center of our lives. Now, there are a lot of things that vie for our attention, for our allegiance, but there is only one who belongs at the center of it all. Because there is only one who is seated at the center of the throne from everlasting to everlasting. So we want to invite all people to follow Jesus and to keep him at the center of their lives. And then last week, we had to take it a step further because we said, well, what does this even look like to follow Jesus? What does this really mean in a person's life to follow Jesus? And last week, we said it begins here. To hear his word. Romans 10, 17, it tells us that faith comes from hearing and hearing comes from the word of God. So how do we hear as a follower of Jesus? Well, we hear when we are studying his word, when we are engaged in the Bible, as we were learning the life and the teachings of Jesus, we hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But then every Jesus follower has a decision to make, and that is, can I believe? Can I believe? Can I trust that what I am hearing is true, is trustworthy, is solid enough for me to put the full weight of my life on it. Every single Jesus follower has to discern, is this God's voice that I'm hearing? And do I believe it? And do I trust it? And then there is yet another decision that has to be made. Will I lay down my life? Once we have heard and we believed that Jesus has laid down his life, we have the opportunity to respond to that and to lay down our life, to yield our life, to give up our own way, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow him. We have the opportunity to obey, him. We have the opportunity to submit a yielded life to him, not to be accepted and loved by him, but because we're accepted and loved by him. And it does not end there. We said in the life of a Jesus follower, it continues and the circle continues. This is a process. You will notice it is a process that seems to have no end because it does not have an end. This is a process that is never ending because our relationship with Jesus is ever growing. As we get closer and closer to him, as we abide in his presence. And every single one of us that are following Jesus, as followers of Jesus, we are in this process somewhere. Some of you, you are hearing for the first time that Jesus loves you and that he died for you and that he gave his life for you so that you could live forever. You're hearing that for the first time. That is a great place to be. Some of you have heard that and you're in the place you're trying to discern whether you can believe that it's true. And some of you have laid down your life in response to what you have heard and believed, and you're living a life of obedience. Whether you've been a Christian for 60 days or a Jesus follower for 60 years, we are all in this process together. And that's going to be our word today. Together. Can you just say that word with me? Together. We have looked at inviting all people to follow Jesus moment by moment. We've looked at what the life of a Jesus follower looks like for the individual. But today, we're going to make a bit of a turn. I want to share with you what this looks like for us to do this together. Because in this life of growing up spiritually, maturing in Christ, it's a never-ending process. We're always growing. We're always moving. Well, unless we're not. I mean, sometimes what we experience is we don't feel like we're moving in that process. Somehow, somewhere, we just got stuck. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who's experienced. Has anyone ever just kind of felt kind of stalled out in your spiritual growth? Anyone in this place? Maybe I'm just so by myself. Okay, so maybe there are a few of you who just feel like, yeah, I kind of know the process, but I'm just feeling a little bit stuck. Let me tell you when the first time I felt this. Yeah, I had not been a Jesus follower very long. And my spiritual formation process, it looked a little bit like this. That was it. I'd heard the good news, and I believed it with all my heart. In fact, I mean, just for bonus points, I felt really guilty about all the bad things that I had done. But here's what I believed. I don't know if you can relate to this, but I believe that if I just did more good stuff than I did bad stuff, then God would love me, he would accept me, and someday he'd have to let me in, right? Because what I believed was, I've arrived at my destination. I'm where I always wanted to be. I have salvation. I thought I'm saved, but the truth is, I was stuck. And I started to feel that because I didn't see coming out of my life what I thought would come out of my life. I was stuck. I was kind of like where the Hebrew writer encountered some people. Listen to what he said. He said, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. But instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies." You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. He says, you're sitting at the back of the class. And you should be at the front. No, you should be teaching the class. By now, you should have grown up. You should have matured. But I'm having to go back to the basics here because you're still like babies who need milk. That was me. I was not moving in my spiritual growth. I was not growing. And here's why. I believed a myth about obedience. I had stopped it here and believe. Why? Because I believed this myth that obedience is about my love for God, what I do for God. You know, when you live a life like this, it is a life of striving. It is a life of stressing. Why? Because my love for God, it is not constant. It changes day to day. It ebbs and it flows. I hate to confess that to you, but it is true. But here's the truth. Obedience is about God's love for me. Now, my friend, this is good news. Why? Because God's love, it does not change. It is steadfast. It is constant. We can depend upon it. Obedience is about a response to God's love for us. It's not about our love for Him. See, this is kind of what it looked like for me. Hear and believe, but yet I was stuck here. I wanted to follow Jesus, but I was stalled because I didn't understand the beautiful life of blessing that came from obedience. I didn't understand the source. I thought I was the source of love, and it's not the case. You see, we love, look at this, we love because God first loved us. Why do we love? We love because God first loved us. Growing spiritually, it's all about love, seeing the fruit of love in our lives. I told you last week that following Jesus is the greatest invitation that anyone will ever receive to the greatest life that anyone will ever live. But I want you to know that the greatest life anyone can ever live is based on the greatest commandments. Look at this. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him. Tested who? This is Jesus. Testing. Can you imagine testing Jesus, this guy? He was an expert. He was an expert in the law, and he was testing Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Greatest commandment in the law. You know, can you imagine the anticipation that this would have created as he asked this question to test Jesus? What is he going to say? Pop quiz. I mean, wow. What would you say? I mean, do you think maybe Jesus would kind of stammer around and say, oh, I don't know. I mean, that's like which one of my kids are my favorite. I mean, he did not hesitate. Look at what he said. He replied, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. Now, the guy didn't ask for the second one, but he gave it to him anyway. And the second is like it. He just keeps going. Love. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Love. It was all about love for Jesus. The expert in the law thought that he was going to test Jesus and trip him up a little bit. Jesus continued to go back to love. And the earliest followers in the church, they took Jesus' words to heart, and love became the heartbeat of an entire movement that we are now a part of today. I want us to go to Acts chapter 2 because I want us to see a snapshot, a picture of how love played out in the early church. Look at this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were, what's that word? All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They were together. The early church was together. They gathered together. They ate together. They prayed together. They grew up together. The church grew as they were together. They took care of each other. They belonged to each other. So I want to share with you just a little bit today, with the few minutes that I have left, what does this life together look like for us today? So we've talked about what does it look like to grow up, to build up the body. What does it look like for the Jesus follower to grow up? But what does it look like for the body of Christ to grow up together? Number one, it looks like this. A group of people, a body of Christ, worshiping together. Listen to Hebrews 10, 25. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more since you see that the day of the Lord is coming nearer. They gathered together, and so we do as well. You see, it's important for us to gather together. It's not because God needs our worship. He's not some egomaniac that says, well, I just need people to get together every week and just sing my... No, that's not it. But he did know that we needed to offer it because we were made for it. We were designed for it. Look at Jesus' words. He says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. Now, why would he say that? Because he knew that baked in our very DNA, there is a weekly rhythm that has been there since the dawn of creation when God rested, that there is a weekly rhythm within us that once a week, one day a week, we need to rest and we need to gather together to worship together corporately. Because when we come together, it's not about what we do, but we come together for each other and for the glory of God to honor him. But we come together to experience the very presence of Jesus. This is a promise. This is a promise from Jesus himself. He says, whenever two or three or more of you come together in my name, I am there with you. That's a pretty good promise. Amen? He is here. When we gather together, he comes and he meets with us as we meet together. We live in a world where gathering together to worship, it's somewhat casual. But we do not meet because it is convenient. We meet because we are committed to God and we are committed to each other. And there's a second way that we come together to love God and to love others, and it's this: as we are doing life together. Listen to this. In the same way, we are many, but in Christ, we are all one body. Each one is a part of that body, and each part belongs to the other parts. Now, think about that just for a second. Each part belongs to the other parts. What did the early church know? They knew that they belonged together, but they belonged to each other. They were walking alongside of each other. They were taking care of each other, praying together, speaking into each other's lives, having someone else speak into their life. They were doing life together. Now, I love our weekly worship times together. But the primary way that we do life together is through small groups. You see, in a smaller context, this is where a large church gets smaller. Where people are known, and where you can know other people, where you can have someone who has permission and the ability to speak into your life, to help you grow, and you can do the same for them. It's in these contexts where you can experience spiritual growth, but authentic community. Now, we do not believe that one size fits all, but we do believe that small fits all. For some people, this may look like two or three guys getting together and having a cup of coffee and going through the new Alive in Us study guide together. Having an opportunity to process what we're hearing on the weekends, to process and to be able to apply what this looks like in our lives. To have a place where we can open up and say, I'm kind of struggling with this, or I don't quite understand this. This is that iron sharpening iron. But it's going to look different for some of us. For some, it might be a group of young couples that are in the same season of life, and they're coming together, and they're saying, how do you do this? I'm not sure how I do this. I need help with this. Well, I've tried this. You might try. It might be a group of women that come together to study the Word of God, but they are speaking into each other's lives. Growing spiritually, experiencing authentic community. I'm just going to tell you right now, I think this series that we're coming into right now is an amazing opportunity for spiritual growth. We are going to be focused on nurturing a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to tell you right now, these are some of the best resources, study guides, small group resources that I have seen. And now, I can say that they are awesome because I didn't have anything to do with creating them. But this is a prime opportunity for us to grow together. We are putting groups together right now, getting ready for this series. You are going to hear things in this series that you're going to go, well, what is it? What is that? What are they talking about? I need to process this with someone. You want to move? You want to grow spiritually? This is an opportunity. We are putting groups together right now. I'd encourage you right after this service. And we have extended time in between our services now. To go out to Connection Central, talk to somebody about getting into a group. Now, this is not the only way that we come together. As the church, we also serve together. Look at this from Galatians 5. You've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in, what is that word again? Love. To serve one another in love. I don't know. I envision a group of people, maybe in that new small group that you're going to be a part of, coming together to serve in some way. Because we want to see every single person come to understand, to discover and use their God-given gifts to serve the body and to serve our world. To serve the body and to serve our world. Because you have gifts. Yes, you, but don't take my word for it. Look at this. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. You have been given a unique gift. You were created with it. God gives gifts. Sometimes gift, sometimes gifts. Sometimes a certain gift will rise up in our life just for a certain time for God to use it for his glory and in the kingdom. We envision Oak Hills Church in a multi-generational way, investing in the next generation. We're getting very serious about preparing the future of the church through the next generation. Some of you, you have been uniquely gifted to teach Bible to children, to be a praise and a worship leader. Some of you have been uniquely gifted to be a small group leader, to spend time. Speaking of small groups, we have small groups with our students and with our young adults. And some of you have been uniquely gifted just to spend time with people and to help them process through things. We can't leave these gifts on the table. You have been given these gifts so that we can serve one another in love and that we can serve our world. I would imagine at this point, some of you are thinking, I think I've heard this before. So you want us to grow spiritually and you want us to do the stuff. As your friend, as your pastor representing the leadership here at Oak Hills Church, we do not want you to show up for stuff. But we do want the fruit of love to show up in your life. Because that is the witness that will make a difference in this world. We can do all the stuff, but if not for love, it is for nothing. I want to leave you with this thought. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. I believe, I sense that God is about to move, that the Holy Spirit is about to move among us in a fresh, in a timely way. I can't wait to go through this fall series together. But as we do, I want to encourage you to make the most of it. I want to encourage you to commit to prioritize weekly worship, gathering together. Why? Because when we come together, we encourage one another and we meet the presence of God. We abide in his presence. I want to encourage you to get in a small group. Again, I don't know what that looks like for you, but we want to help you get into a smaller community where you can experience spiritual growth and authentic community. And I want to encourage you to use your gifts. If you don't know what your gifts are, then let's do this together. Let's discover your gifts together. We want to help you with that. And then we want to use the gifts. Because this is what God has called us to do, and he's called us to do it together. We love because God loved first. He's gone first. He has set the example. He sent his one and only son to die on a cruel cross, to prepare the way for us to have relationship with him. What more could he have done to have relationship with us? Let's commit to that relationship with him, to hear him, to believe him, and to obey him, and to give our lives to him all the days of our life. Because friends, I believe that that will not only change our lives, but that will change the world. Let's pray together. Father, when we begin to imagine what you're up to, what you are doing in our lives, what you are doing in this world, what you are doing with us as your body of Christ, we thank you for the way that you are moving. We thank you for your steadfast love. We do not have to wonder if it's going to be here today or be here tomorrow. You are constant. You are steadfast. You are a promise keeper at every turn. And so, Father, we hear that and we believe it and we put our full weight on it. We trust you and we lay down our lives for you. Would you continue to show us moment by moment what this looks like in our lives? Would you continue to show us moment by moment what this looks like in the life of the body of Christ here at Oak Hills Church? Holy Spirit, guide us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.